Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we are joined by a lady that I met when I was helping out at the packet pickup for James River Trail Runs. And I heard her say something about carrying the flag, the American flag, for the 50K race. And I was like, wow, that's tough. And so then I talked to her the next morning before the start, got a chance to see her with the flag and everything. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. I got to watch this woman just absolutely rock this race. Was totally intrigued by the way she did this with such grace and poise and everything. I thought, we're going to get this incredible woman on the podcast. And so without further ado, let's welcome in Donna Schultz. Donna, ready to go for a run?
I just finished one, but I could do some more miles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with more miles, right?
That's right.
That's right. Well, Donna, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do when you're not out running and, you know, family, all that good stuff?
Well, just a resident of Powhatan for quite a few years. And of course, we've got Powhatan State Park out here with some great trails. I work close to Midlothian Mines Park, so that's a nice little option if I need just a short run. I work at Virginia Asset Management as an admin assistant. Many different roles over the years. They've told me I'm the Swiss Army knife of them. I've done just about every job that you can do in the firm as far as the admin world. Been here 14 years this time.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I worked for a couple of years and switched careers into working at Sneed's Nursery, and I became a master gardener and I started my own little business. And then, you know, life happens, so they let me come back into the admin world. And then I got engaged to a fellow in North Carolina, moved away. Then I said, to heck with that, coming back to Powhatan. And so here I am again. And I said, I will die in my cube, if not on the trail. So I'm never leaving until they kick me out the door.
That is awesome. So now, do you have family in the Powhatan area, or how did you end up there?
Yeah, so I met my first husband through working at Virginia Asset Management when I was actually in the Georgia office. No, not Virginia Asset. I take that back. Standard Register is where I had been for a number of years. And we met in Georgia. I had moved to Wilmington, North Carolina with a transfer. He was transferred from Richmond down to Wilmington. So that's how we met. But his family was from Powhatan.
Okay.
So after we got married in Wilmington, he got a job transfer to Richmond so that he could come back here and be close to his family. And we have one son who's just turned 24. And I just found out about 6 weeks ago, I get to be a grandma now.
Awesome.
Yeah, come November, they're doing a gender reveal June 1st. And he doesn't know how to keep a secret, so he doesn't even know if it's a boy or a girl yet.
That's awesome. That's
Yeah,
awesome.
So my retiring to Arizona, where I have family, has kind of been put on hold because, you know, now I got to do the grandma thing.
There you go. That's a bummer. Arizona's beautiful. Is that where you grew up, was Arizona?
Now I started out in upstate New York, and my family moved to Florida when I was very young. My dad was a carpenter, and he got on with the company that helped build Walt Disney World.
Oh,
So,
cool.
yeah, that was pretty awesome. Every relative you never knew you had wanted to come to Florida so they could go to Disney.
Of course.
But then he passed away very unexpectedly when I was 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just went to bed one night and he didn't wake up the next morning. Yeah, we were
That's
supposed
tough.
to go to early service church, and I looked in my parents' room and I thought he was still sleeping and thought, well, I guess we'll go to late service. And I went back to bed. But, you know, then once my mom woke up, then we knew what had happened. But yeah, I stayed in Florida until I got out of out of college, and then eventually with Standard Register, I went from Florida to Georgia to North Carolina. And then, you know, that's where I met my first husband and got up here to Powhatan. And pretty much that's where I've stayed. I had my little 2 year stint down in North Carolina and then came back here.
Fantastic. Good. So where did the running start, Donna?
It's been off and on probably since I was 14, freshman
Okay.
in high school. I wanted to be on the cross country team, but my mother was of the belief that school is for, old school reading, writing, arithmetic, and not for extracurricular activities. So me trying to stay after school and do cross country practice and run and weights and then ride my bike however many miles it was home every single day in the Florida afternoon heat with the thunderstorms that pop up almost every afternoon did not work out too well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just sort of was running on my own more as a health thing, because every, teenage girl thinks they're fat and we must be skinny, skinny. And then it would go by the wayside and then I would pick it back up. So I just sort of did it off and on for 20 plus years until maybe 45 was
Okay.
when I actually did my very first race.
Really? Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
Super late bloomer with the racing. I did the Run to Victory 5 miler in Randolph, North Carolina.
Okay.
That's one good thing North Carolina did for me. That was my first race. Kyle Petty, this was for Kyle Petty's Victory Junction camp, and he was standing at the finish line, high-fived every single runner who came across. It was in December. It was 33, drizzling. It was so cold and awful.
Oh, it's wild.
And yeah, I was hooked.
That's cool. So cold and drizzly, 5 miler, and you were still hooked. That's awesome.
And it was funny because they had a half marathon along with it, so you could choose the five or the half at a certain point. And people were talking about this half marathon thing, and I didn't even know at that time I did not even know what a half marathon was. So I stuck with what I knew because I really was only training like a 5K distance. And I
Right.
thought, well, if Kyle Petty's going to be there, I can do a couple more miles. So I'm very glad I stuck with that because Randleman, North Carolina is nothing but hills. And where I was training was in a nice flat neighborhood. So I probably would have
That's
died
awesome.
right then and there.
Yeah, what fun. What fun. So now when you started racing at 45, so when did you, 'cause now, I mean, you do a lot of races, don't you?
Yeah, it started out with just maybe one race a year, maybe two races. Especially when I came back to Virginia, I kind of got hooked up with the Run Like a Girl
Okay.
organization.
Yep. Cool organization.
Yeah, did a couple of Mark's things. And then when Meg Menzies was hit and killed, of course, that flash went out through Run Like a Girl. And then the Meg's Miles Facebook page got started. And I ran along with 100,000 other runners that weekend in her memory.
Yeah.
Once I got involved with the Meg's Miles group, that started a whole new spin on the journey because then I started meeting people. I was always solo, just run by myself, go to races by myself. But once you get in the community and you get running friends and you start learning about all these different opportunities there are to get out and run races, that really turned the snowball into an avalanche. And
Cool.
I mean, there's been years I've done maybe 35 or 40 races in a year. So yeah, it was a game changer joining that community, and almost every friend that I have now I've met through, either Meg's Miles
Oh,
or
that is awesome.
Virginia Adventures.
Now, when did you run your first Virginia Ventures race?
I've been running with Dan's group for a while. Before COVID, because I know I had signed up for a few races that year that were all canceled. So maybe 2018, 2019.
Okay.
Probably, I'm trying to think, because I think I've run all of Dan's races with the flag. I did not start carrying the flag in races until I think my first one was February 2019.
Okay.
So I was carrying like a little handheld, stick flag at certain races prior to that. And one of the fellows that's in Meg's Miles, Keith Cartwright, did a podcast with a fellow, Sid Bush, running icon. He's been in Runner's World. He's done 206 marathons and, gazillion other things.
Right.
He always carried the flag. So After hearing that podcast, it's like, I have to know this man. It was
That's
so
awesome.
interesting. Yeah. So I got up with Sid, and he's been my inspiration. And he actually came up to Midlothian and did my first 10K with the flag with me.
Okay.
So, and then it's been game on ever since.
So you've been running Virginia Adventures races since 2019, and you've carried the flag in every single one of them?
Oh, yes, sir.
Wow, that's amazing. And now have you, did you just say you've run every single one of Dan's races?
No, I haven't run every single one of them because there's been an occasion where Night Train is on the same day as another race that
Okay.
I usually do, like the Chesty Puller 11K down at West Point. So there were 2 years where I actually ran the Chesty Puller 11K in the morning, and I came back and I did the Night Train half.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that about killed me. So then the next year I decided, well, I'll just run the Chesty Puller 11K and come home and do the Night Train 5K.
Right.
That still was not the easiest thing as I get older and older.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
after that, I think I've missed Night Train 2 years because it's been on the same day as Chesty Puller. So, but this year they're on different days, so I will be at both of them, and I'm so happy.
Awesome. That is awesome. So now, what inspired you to start carrying the flag when you run?
Just with talking with Sid and how he's run for different heroes, I had sort of started doing that a little bit, like at the Virginia War Memorial 5K that they did. I picked a hero to run for and just carried, like the little stick flag. And then it was not too long after that when I heard Sid's story, and I thought, this is just amazing. I mean, just elevated everything to another level. So after we emailed back and forth quite a bit, and we talked, and we actually got to meet for the first time at the Chesty Puller race in
Oh,
2018.
cool.
So then when I saw that, it's like, here's this guy who's in his 70s doing these most amazing things. Why am I not? What's holding me back? And I said, nothing. Nothing's holding me back. So I just did it.
Yeah. Now,
Yeah.
how heavy is your flag?
I get asked that a lot, and I'm afraid to know. So I've never stepped
Right.
on the scale with it. But
Okay.
I have learned over the years when I'm ordering a new flag to definitely check the weight, because there have been a few flags that I've received that I've made it about 2 miles and like my arm's falling off. It's like there's
Right.
just, but I did have a company gift me like six flags 1 year, and I'm on the last one of those. I kind of got a like a fake flag when I ordered.
Okay.
It was not a US made Rushmore Rose flag. It was like a cheap Chinese
Oh,
knockoff.
no.
And I emailed the company, and I guess the company president got wind of it because it was sold through Amazon. So they shut that down on Amazon. And when he heard why I wanted the flags, he sent me a whole box of flags. So that was
That's
really,
awesome.
yeah, I'm a fan of Rushmore Rose flags from, here on out.
Yep. So tell us about some of the heroes that you've run for through the years, and how do you find them?
Yeah, at first I was emailing Sid, I'm like, I've got a race coming up, send me a hero's name, because he would ask people to run for others and families would reach out to him. But once the word gets out that you're running for heroes, there's never a shortage.
Wow.
I see things through Facebook stories, 22 Too Many on
Yep.
Facebook. I've run for a number of their folks. Kerry Jacobs is just awesome. I met families that way, met the kids of some of the fallen. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But you're just doing something so good to help these families. There's been two Powhatan sheriff's deputies, and one was a Virginia State Trooper, Mike Walter, who was working on a joint shift, I guess, with Richmond City Police, and they were going up to a car of suspected drug dealing, and the guy in the passenger seat just shot Mike right then and there.
Oh,
He
wow.
has Black Hawk Wrestling and Black Hawk Gym in Powhatan, and so that was huge. So I've run for him. I run for him on his end of watch. I've run for him on his birthday. I've met his wife, his kids, given them all kinds of care package goodies. You know, we had another deputy here that was in pursuit and lost control of his car and hit a tree and he was killed. And they actually have a room at the Powhatan Sheriff's Office dedicated just to Robbie. So he's another one of my special angels that I run on his birthday and end of watch.
Cool.
Sometimes I see stories in the news. You know, you get input from so much media, and there'll be just times that the stories just hit me. And I start doing research and I try to reach out to the families, and then we connect, and you know, then it's just on.
Yeah, so it's really become your passion, hasn't it?
Oh my gosh, it's been such a game changer. When I ran the Marine Corps Marathon in 2019, the monsoon year, I was carrying two heroes, and one was actually buried at Arlington.
Oh, wow.
Sid had given me his name, Jimmy Malachowski. So I went to Arlington the day before and found his grave and had a chit chat with him because I knew it was going to rain the whole time.
Yep.
And then I was carrying a fellow off the 22-2 Mini Page, Kyle Whistler, and I had been in touch with his sister. And if I had not been carrying their pictures with me on the back of my hydration vest, on the front of my shirt, you know, where I could look down and see them, I would have just bailed at mile eight. I was already feeling like I had the worst blisters ever, you know, soaked completely through. I'm carrying the flag. The flag is completely soaked, so it's
Out.
pretty heavy. I've learned to have a different type of flag for the rain because a cotton flag does not work very well. So yeah, it gives you such a purpose. The first 50K I did was for a World War II hero that was MIA, that was finally ID'd and brought home after 75 years. And I had been in
Wow.
touch with his family, and I think it was his niece. She was actually a Boston qualifier and ran Boston back in the 80s. So she was messaging me, and this was a Virginia Adventures 50K. This was a freight train.
Okay.
And it was raining at the start and sunshining at the end. So I went through like three wardrobe changes trying to adjust to the weather. And she's messaging me, and I'm looking down at his picture, thinking, I can't just quit, you know, because you come back through the, at that time, it was at the farmer's market. So, you know, you get up under your shelter so you can change and get a snack and sit down. And yeah, then I wanted to stay sitting down.
Yep, the curse of the chair.
Yeah, but if you're carrying somebody and you've got a family counting on you, you know you can't quit.
Exactly.
I've just been in that situation so many times, just hurting and, you know, just ready to just sit down and just say, forget it, you know, I'm bailing. And then somebody asks you the story, and you start telling the person's story of who you're carrying, and it gives you that strength that you need to just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's the longest distance race you've done with the flag?
The 50K.
Okay.
Dance races are 50K-ish.
Yes,
So I
there's,
think my
yeah.
longest one has been close to 33 miles.
Yeah, Dan measures his race as well. We love Dan. If you're listening, Dan, we're just teasing. That's awesome. And which one was that?
It was either freight train or night train.
Okay. Oh, that's right, 'cause freight train, night train, they're not exactish 31.2, are they?
No.
That is awesome. Have you done Dogwood yet?
I've done Dogwood, I think, 5 years.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, I haven't. I usually do the 10 miler. I like to do his shorter mileages so that I can volunteer.
Right.
Because I love to volunteer and I love to see the real badasses, you know, the 50K and the 100K people coming through and just giving them whatever they need. You know, let me fill
Yeah.
your hydration pack. What kind of food do you want? Just to keep them going. But this year I signed up to do the 12-hour team relay because I had two
Oh, wow.
friends reach out that had never done a timed loop trail race and they wanted
Okay.
to check it out. So I thought, well, heck yeah, you know, bring it on. I would love to show you the Dogwood race, especially when it's not raining and a 1 mile loop around the lake.
Right.
So I did bonus miles, even though I got in like 14 and a quarter for the team. I ended up running a little over 21,
Wow.
because I was considering that sort of training for James River, because I knew James River was going to be the hardest one I've ever done. I've usually only done the 10 miler at James River
The
the first
Stout
few years.
50K with the flag.
Yeah, that was the hardest 50K, because all my other 50Ks have been on high bridge,
Right?
nice and flat, no roots and no rocks,
Yeah. And no big climbs. Yeah, James River's got a couple big climbs.
Yeah, it does. So I knew it was going to be really, really hard. That's why I ran for the James M. Slade Detachment of the Marine Corps League, because I'm an associate member. And I reached out to the guys and the ladies and said, look, I'm running this as a thank you run for all you Marines for what you've done. And can you just send me a little email note or picture? Because, I'm going to need some motivation. And those guys just stepped it up like I never imagined they would. I'm like, yeah, a bunch of old guys, what are they going to send me? I got stories of Vietnam. I got
Wow.
pictures from Vietnam. I got pictures of Purple Heart certificates. It just floored me. So I printed
Wow.
off every email and I cut them into little slips of paper and the pictures, and I put them all in a little Ziploc bag and I had them in my pocket. And when I crossed that finish line the three different times, I pulled them out so they would be right in my hand. And after face planting the first loop,
I heard about that.
yeah, Mr. Rock at 3.5. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not even halfway through the first loop. I'm face down on the ground. The flag is on the ground. I'm seeing stars. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
So no broken
good way to
bones.
start, right?
Yeah, I tell you, get the hard part out of the way first.
There you go.
So got through the first loop, got through the second loop. And I'm so glad I signed up for the hiker division, because I knew how hard it was going to be, and I did not want to put any pressure on myself to try to have to run the whole thing.
Right.
So I kind of messed my knee up a little bit. So that last 10-mile loop, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get through it. I sat down, I changed socks and shoes, and I just thought, I pulled out that Ziploc with those pictures and those stories, and I said, for everything that these guys did, the one guy was shot 4 days before he was supposed to leave Vietnam.
Oh my.
It's like, I'll crawl through mud for these guys. So I put on a different hat and grabbed my flag back up and just said, I'm just going to power walk through it. And I
That's
wouldn't even call it
awesome.
power walking. It was like dragging the feet. But
Yeah.
I've never, that was the longest I've ever carried the flag time wise, because it was a little over 9 hours, and it was like 9 hours and 16 minutes, something like that.
Okay.
My watch died, so I had no idea of
You're
time.
just plugging along.
Oh yeah. And my friend who was out there, we get a cabin every year. She did the 50 miler last year, and this year she'd had a half the weekend before. So she did the 10 miles and she volunteered. So she came out to find me those last couple of miles. And
Oh, cool.
I'll tell you, just having a crew person makes so much difference too, because
Yeah.
when you're along the river, you're sort of close to the end, but by this time, your brain's dying, or my brain was dying, and I'm like, I know it's close, but I still have no idea where I am. And she's like, you just got a couple more miles, you just keep on going, I'm gonna get back to the car, I'll see you back at the finish line, you've got this. And I'm thinking, girl, you did another two more laps after this last year. I have, even more respect for her
No kidding. Yeah, I
now.
have a lot of respect for everybody that did the 50 miler out there. That was tough.
It's
And
it
of
is.
course, it's a Dan race. So, he had to put that hill right at the end, didn't he?
Oh yes. But I
Yeah.
was determined. I was gonna, even if it was like the last 10 steps, I was gonna run over that pad.
That's awesome.
I
That's
was
awesome. So proud of you for getting out
disappointed.
there and finishing it. That is not an easy 50K. That's a tough 50K.
I was most afraid of being out in those woods after dark,
Right.
because I volunteered at the secondary aid station a couple of years ago, I guess my first year out there,
Okay.
and it's truly an international dark sky park. When that
Yeah.
little light goes out, you can't see your hand in front of your face.
No, you cannot. Yeah, that place is amazing. I loved it. I was amazed by just the trails and the terrain out there. I thoroughly enjoyed it. That was awesome.
It was gorgeous. And I knew since I wasn't out there for time, I went out to the overlook again. It's like,
Okay, did you go each time? Because I thought about going out each time, and I thought, nah, that's kind of dorky. Just, keep on going. But I wish I would have gone out each time, because that would have been motivating.
yeah, I didn't go out the third time because I was starting to, because by that time my watch had died. So I
Okay.
didn't really know where I was time-wise. I knew by my phone what time it was, and I knew I was gonna make it, with time to spare. But it's like you still got about 3.5 more miles to go from there, and you just never know what's gonna happen.
Right.
So I thought, well, I'll just keep on cruising.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So, what is your next race, Donna?
I have the Run the Rock 5K out at the Luckstone Quarry on May 31st. That's going to be just a fun little run. I'm doing that in honor of a firefighter that I met at a mini backyard ultra a couple of months ago, because it's a fundraiser for two different fire departments. And this fellow that I met at this mini backyard ultra was carrying the firefighter flag, the thin red line flag, with all these names on it. So I got to talk to him about all the signatures on the flag, and it was all firefighters that he has met over the years that have some sort of PTSD. And he said, "My name is also on that flag."
Wow,
And I
that's
thought,
awesome.
wow, what a just an open, honest conversation here at the end of the fourth loop. We were in 16 miles and we actually finished the race together. He was hurting, and I knew I was only doing the 16.4 miles because I had James River the next weekend.
Right.
So I'm gonna run that as a thank you to him. But then the next day, June 1st, I have the Tasquinas half down at York
Oh, cool.
River,
Awesome.
going for that Virginia State Parks Adventure Series.
Yeah, so that was one of the things I wanted to get into. I'd never heard of this until you said that at Packet Pickup. So tell us what the Virginia State Parks thing is.
It's an adventure series that is put on by Virginia State Parks, and it includes a lot of mountain biking races, just straight up running races, and then a lot of it's either like a, I don't want to say duathlon because it's not a swimming, it's got to do with like running and kayaking, or running and
Okay.
or biking and canoeing, and orienteering is thrown in there somehow. And when I
Wow.
started reading about compasses and finding things, it's like, yeah, I get lost in the paper bag, so I'm not even going to think about that.
Right.
So it's a series of, I don't know if it's 20 or 25 different races. They changed it up this year, and you get points for each one that you do, and the top 10 get some pretty good prizes. It's sponsored by Dominion, and you get gift certificates to Virginia State Parks, where you get one gift certificate that pays for your park pass. You get another one of a, it could be 150, 250. There were gift certificates to REI, Visa gift certificates. I mean, the awards were really nice,
That's
and
amazing.
I ended up last, I never paid attention to it until last year, and I ended up being like fourth place female, and I
Well,
had,
that's awesome.
well, that was before I saw what two more races were coming up.
Oh my gosh.
I did the High Bridge Trail half in October, and then the very next day is the Pocahontas Trail Fest, and the scored race there was the 10K. So I thought, well, even if I come in last in the 10K, you still get points. So I did the
Right.
marathon Saturday, the 10K on Sunday, and it was put on by Mark. So it was a small enough race. I ended up first place female in 60 to 69.
That's awesome.
That was really
That's
nice.
awesome.
So those two races put me into third place female. And when I was reading what first, second, and third got, I was reading it wrong. So it was only like first place male, female. Then it started overall third and down.
Oh, okay.
So I ended up overall in ninth place. But I still got a $150 gift card to Virginia State Parks and the
That's awesome.
$85 gift card for the park pass. And I let the director know, well, this is how I read it. And I thought I was third place female. And I was really excited thinking I was going to get an REI card and a Visa card. And
Right.
so they changed it this year.
Sounds awesome. Cool.
So
So where are you kind of rankings? I know it's early on, but where are you rankings right now?
I have not even looked.
Okay. Too early,
It's
right?
way early because I've only got the one race in, and they've had a couple of the mountain biking races at Pocahontas already.
Okay.
I thought about doing one of the duathlons where you run a half marathon and then you kayak for 7 miles, but because they will supply the kayak and the life vest and all that for you if you don't
Okay.
have one. But thinking about my arms and my back, it's like I'm not sure I could do a kayak for 7 miles without some serious training.
No kidding.
I don't
Yeah,
have time.
I definitely know kayaking, and it's like, whoa, boy.
I did a few little things at the state parks, where you go out kayaking with the little tour guide around the lake, and you're out there for maybe an hour, and they supply everything, and it was great. It was like $20 and you're out there and they're showing you all the things. But I think on the river, it would be a little more difficult. And I think it would be more than an hour.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I was thinking about the I noticed on one of the things there was the kayak thing, and I was like, wow, that's tempting, but I don't know.
And I think it was the day after one of their other half marathons that I'm signed up for. So it's like, I don't want to push it, but so much.
Yep,
I'm
that's
trying to stay
awesome.
injury free at this point in the game as well.
Yeah, injury free is the way to go running wise. I keep telling my friends, I don't mind being a turtle because I don't deal with injuries. So,
Yeah, I've been sidelined a couple of times where the chiropractor said absolutely zero running. Had to have my hamstring kind of rebuilt, so there was no running at all for 3 months.
wow.
And I started back at like 10 to 15 second intervals and worked up to 30 second intervals and then going on. And it that was really, really tough. But the
Yeah.
very next year was actually my best running year ever. So then the next time I ended up with kind of a different injury, I did not hesitate. I went straight back and I'm like, okay, this is what's happening and it's just started. So help me out right now.
Okay, that
My
is
other
cool.
injury was sort of like an old lingering thing that I put off until it just became unbearable. So
Yeah.
it took forever to get through the therapy and to get the fascia in my hamstring straightened out because I had so much like scar tissue built up where I snapped a tendon or something, and
Wow.
it was awful.
Yeah. That sounds not fun. So, what's your favorite race, Donna? I mean, you've done a lot of them, but do you have a favorite that
Oh,
you're just like go back to all the time?
that's a tough one because I've done the Richmond half for a lot of years. I guess that started out as one of my favorites just because of the crowd support the whole way.
Right.
But now, as I've gotten a little older and I don't like to deal with getting up at 3 or 4 in the morning so much and the traffic and the parking, I've sort of migrated to the smaller races where
Right.
it's and the trails have just totally taken over my mentality. It's like just put me out in the woods, please.
Yeah, I
Go
love the
race.
woods. I love
That's
running in the
another thing
woods.
about being a little slower is the faster racers, they scare away all the snakes
Exactly. Yep.
and they clear out the spider webs.
Yes, they do. I always say the best thing in a trail race is I'm going to be at the back, and all the front runners will have cleared out all those early morning spider webs that grew during the night. So it's a good thing that
Yeah,
I'm not fast.
I would think because I just love Powhatan State Park since that's my
Okay.
home park and I feel like I half live there in the summer. The Pawpaw 10 miler is super fun, but I love Piedmont. I love the Piedmont 8 hour
Okay.
because every year it's like, okay, let's see how far I can get this year.
Right.
It's every year I seem to get like an extra lap in there. Last year I did not quite get to Dan's 50K, because I can't remember how many laps he makes it count to get there. I was
Okay.
1 lap short, so got credited with 29.85 or whatever it is. But my watch said 31.13.
So
So
you're counting it. That's
I
right.
mean that. Well, because at the end of each loop, I try to be self-supporting, so I at that point I had a van and I had, everything opened up and I had all my snacks and all my hydration and the change of shoes and everything that I needed. So by the time you come out of the trail and you get over to your vehicle, do what you got to do, and then come back to the trail, that's adding like another 2 tenths,
Yep.
every loop. So,
And
and
how many
then,
loops is the Piedmont 8 hour, or how long is the loop?
he has changed it up. 1 year it was a little over three, but I think for the most part it comes out to like 2.7-ish.
Okay.
So it's very runnable. There's not, there's some elevation, but it's not hard elevation. And it makes it easier where if you don't really want to carry a vest with hydration or anything and go minimalist, your loop is easy enough to come back. It does get hot, so I always like to have a vest because I can go through a 16-ounce bottle of water in less than 3 miles.
Yeah.
And again, I'm always like, what if, if I fall, I want something with me. I want my phone with me, and then I'm carrying the flag, so I want to be hands-free anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. I am so intrigued by your carrying the flag at all these races, and I so admire it. I just think what you're doing is so cool and so honoring of our veterans that have fallen and the first responders. And I just really admire what you're doing, Don. I think it's awesome.
Well, it's really humbling because, when you actually get to talk to the families, and then when you get to meet the families, and they're just so appreciative about every little thing, but you're just like, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other, and I'm just sharing your person's story because look what they went through and look what
Yeah.
they did. And COVID taught me, I don't need to wait for a race. I can wear a person's picture anytime and share a story. And it doesn't have to be someone who's passed. It can be someone who's living. And I've sort of migrated toward that because I want to tell these people to their face, hey, thank you. I want to tell them thank you now instead of telling the family sorry for your loss. So I kind of mix it up as different people come my way. But
Yep.
yeah,
That's
it's
neat.
been,
I'm gonna have to get with you because I run the Swami Shuffle 200
Yeah, I was
every year.
seeing
This year
that. It's like,
the
oh
flu knocked
boy.
me out. And of course, Swami Shuffle is all about, raising awareness and funds for veteran suicide awareness, because we do have a huge problem in this nation.
Oh,
22 veterans a day are taking their lives, and we need to do a better job of that. I need to get with you and get a name for next year's Swami that I can carry with me on that race.
Oh my gosh. And unfortunately, there is just no shortage. I've met two moms that the son committed suicide, and then the wife, she committed suicide like three weeks after him, and they left behind a 5-month-old son.
Oh my.
They live out in
Wow.
Montana, ended up being out in Montana for a race and a wedding, and the two moms are raising their grandson now. And I traveled down about an hour or so, and I got to meet both the moms. I got to meet the grandson. I think he's 9 or 10 now.
Okay.
We're friends on Facebook, so I keep up with him and I keep up with them. And I mean, it's just amazing when you get to meet the folks.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Love what you're doing, Donna. So we're going to draw this to a close. This is how we end every Living an Ultra Life podcast. Of course, the name of the podcast, Living an Ultra Life. What's the first thing that pops into your head when you hear that name?
A lot of miles on the trails and just peace.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing more peaceful than a nice little trail run. So Donna, what would you like to leave with the folks as a, message of why you're doing this, carrying a flag? 'Cause it's an extra burden when you're out there, running. It's not easy. I watched you and you do such an amazing job of making sure that the flag never touches the ground and wearing it with pride, and you've got such a beautiful smile on your face when you're doing it. What's the message that you want to leave with people?
It doesn't take much to honor a veteran or to say thank you or, just to make them feel a little special because, I run into a lot of veterans and I ask them, can I please run a thank you run for you? And they won't let me. They're like, no, I didn't do anything special. They don't want to be recognized. And I'm thinking, you gave up your time, you gave up your life, you could have done anything, but you went and served this nation. And to me, that's amazing. And what you sacrificed and your family sacrificed, I just don't feel like thank you is enough. So anytime I see somebody wearing a veteran hat, I tell them, oh, thank you so much for your service. I've met Purple Heart recipients because I've seen it on their license plates. I will go up and say, hey, are you Purple Heart? And they'll kind of look at me like, yeah. And I'm like, thank you so much. You just don't know what that means because I have freedom and I get to go out and run these races and do these things and, honor the flag and honor our country and honor you guys because of what you did, and I think that's the most selfless act is to serve your country and, you're just sacrificing years of your life for us, people you don't even know. So, it really it gives me a very strong why. And it's just like part of my persona at this point in time. It's like it's just in my soul.
And you can tell. You can tell. Anybody that gets Ron Donna can tell that this is not just a thing. It is something that you live and you have such a passion for, and I so admire it, Donna.
Well, I appreciate that. It just keeps me humble. It keeps me going. It's like I don't want any recognition for doing it, but I want the people that I'm running for to be the ones that are recognized because they're the real heroes.
Donna, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your busy schedule and joining us. This is going to be a great podcast, and I know you probably are not going to believe this, but we're going to actually air this on Memorial Day.
Oh my gosh, I have goosebumps.
So this podcast will go live on Memorial Day morning, and I can't think of a better time to put it live. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.